you know, our robes and different things that we wear and different degree work that we do. We also get the candidates prepared in here.
There's a room just like this above the Masonic Block that was probably the old version of this.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And then over there's another room. That's a little ante room before you go into the main room.
Okay.
And normally when you're doing degree work in masonry, the candidate for masonry will enter through that door over there.
Uh-huh.
And you notice too on these doors there's a little extra door. That has to do with Oddfellow. You actually pull it up and speak through the door. You have to get passwords and things to enter and exit. So I'm throwing this out just kind of quick.
Love
to
it.
Give you an overview.
I'm going to just ID my recording real quick. We are here above the Union Block building in the Oddfellows Hall space that is also used by our Oliver Lodge number 447 of the Masons. I'm with Tim Mooney. This is Jessica Marbury's Heller for the Caledonian Public Square Memories and Futures Project. Getting our little tour. What else should we see in here? Anything or...
So this here is our actual, this is our lodge room. Like I said, this is set up right now for the Eastern Stars, which are the Lady Masons. And the colors, as you can see on this, and I think these are called the different points. But anyway, that's the way they're set up.
And you're sure I won't get in trouble for getting a picture of this stuff?
No, it's fine.
I thought this was all a top secret.
No, this is... You can get this online. So, and there's, you know, there's honestly... In our motto is, you know, we aren't a secret society. We are a society of secrets.
Right.
So, the way that goes is... You know, we have a sign. We publish our meeting dates. You know, our sign's posted outside. But to come in and be a regular member, you have to join.
Yeah. How big is the membership? Are you able to say? Or
we are. I believe we're 138 for the Masons.
Caledonia?
Yeah, but you know, Caledonia takes in an area around.
But that's huge for a fraternal organization in 2020. In a community of this size?
Well,
I mean, in a town of less than 600 people to have 1/6 be a Mason?
Yes.
That's
so that's pretty incredible. But
I thought it would have been like 10 or 12 people. I had no idea.
No. So you take that many people. And active Masons, you get about 10 to 15%. You see what I mean? So when we have a meeting, if we have... I think our last meeting we had 14 people here.
Kind of like any nonprofit. You get some people who are really involved and other people who are on the books just for show.
And it's basically the same people that do it all, you know.
And you're highly involved. Do you have a role in the lodge?
Yes. Right now I'm what they call senior deacon. I'll explain some of that to you also. I was hoping this would be set up with our Masonic... guard, but hey, you know, the Eastern Stars had I'm not sure what they had going on. But
they played a big role, I mean, in the history of the community, too, and you are sort of our interviewee who's going to speak to the fraternal organizations at large, so I think it's totally okay that we've got Masons and Eastern Stars. Can I get your picture a few times? I'll get some later, too, but you can just stand and I'll get our background. I do natural light photography, so a rainy day is never my friend. But maybe the fluorescent lights will help out. I don't know. It could go either way. It's not that bad. Let me get you a steroid here.
Yeah.
It's like a senior photography. Pose with your basketball and your the school you're going to go to college to. I scratched all the prescription off my glasses. Now I have to get really close to get in focus, which is more fun for me than for you. All right, yeah, that's not that bad for a rainy day. Look all our blinds up. So the senior deacon, kind of like in a church, the deacon is responsible for welcoming people into the organization and explaining how it works? Or?
Exactly.
Hi.
So the layout of the Masonic Lodge is you have a worshipful master, and that doesn't mean you worship him.
Okay.
That means he is the most knowledgeable.
I see.
So he he went through the chairs, mm-hmm. which the chairs in a Masonic lodge consist of, you have a junior deacon that sits here, okay, and then you have the senior deacon sits up here in this corner over here. Now, Masonically, and this building's not faced correct for us mm-hmm. here, but it was over there, the master always sits in the east. So the master lodge sits up there in the east. The senior warden, who is the next highest officer, sits over here in the west.
Wow.
So you've got junior deacon, senior deacon, then you've got master of the lodge, you have senior warden, and then over in the west, over here sits the junior warden.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So the spatial arrangements of all of this and the kind of like pageantry aspect,
yes,
is highly yes. important for the rituals.
Highly important. The treasurer sits over here. The secretary sits up there behind the desk. The secretary okay. takes minutes of every meeting, and everything what they say is proper to be written. And then any monies that comes to the secretary, he gives to the treasurer, and then the treasurer is responsible to make sure that it's entered and everything's copacetic. And it's only paid out by the permission of the lodge and the worshipful master.
And so. Legally, you guys are a 501c3, registered Ohio Charitable Office, IRS, 501c3, or is it a different structure?
We are, by law, we have to turn over so much money that, you know, we bring in for donations. We have to turn over so much of that money.
Back to the higher Mason organization.
Yes, and also...
What do you call that, Grand Lodge?
The Grand Lodge, okay. Yeah. And the Grand Lodge is over all the lodges in Ohio. Uh-huh. So...
So you're kind of like a chapter organization, like the NAACP
exactly
or something,
right.
or United Way.
That's exactly right. We're
okay.
We're Oliver Lodge 447. That means we were the 447th lodge. And I think the numbers go up into the 700s, but there's not that many lodges anymore.
Uh-huh, okay.
So yeah, that's just a breakdown, and then you'll have two stewards, and the stewards sit on each side of the junior warden over here, and so that's basically. And then outside the door here, we have a titler, and the titler makes sure that
titler. What's it called, titler?
Titler.
Titler.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's a titler, and what he does is he makes sure that anybody that's coming into the lodge and exiting the lodge has permission and are have permission to do so.
But so. Now, like, someone could walk in from the streets and join a meeting, but or not all of it. There's a certain part.
No, if they walked in here, they wouldn't get into the meeting.
I see.
You
okay.
know, once the door's tiled and it's closed, the only way you can get in here is through the titler asking permission.
I see.
And then he has to tell the lodge who's wanting to enter.
But you said you guys are not a secret society, a society of secrets. You've got the sign up and you post the meeting date. So if my brother wanted to come to a meeting and check it out, if he was here before the meeting and asked the titler, he could sit in on part of it or not really?
No.
Okay.
What he could do, though, we could bring him up here,
mm-hmm.
and we always have food and everything. We would probably feed him.
I see.
Because, you know, it's still through the belly, especially with Masons, belly Masons. So you would feed him and then just say, hey, you know, here's, if you want to join, the first step is you have to ask, you know, our saying is you have to ask one to be one.
Mm.
So you have to ask a Mason to become a Mason.
Mm-hmm.
So the first step he probably took that, you know, I'm interested in becoming a Mason. So, okay. So, you know, Mike come up here and we do a Bureau of Investigation background check on everybody.
Is that for real?
For real.
The FBI?
It's BCI.
Okay.
Bureau
it's
of Criminal
like Investigation. The regular background
but
check,
yeah.
Yeah,
we don't want anybody in our lodge that's, you know, felonies, you know, for God's sake, murder, you know, nothing like that. I mean, yeah. we don't want these people in here.
Mm.
And they won't get in here. But now you have an issue with gender.
Mm. I was going to ask, because it has been historically strictly segregated, but I know even like the Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts now, you can join whichever one.
Yeah.
So how are you guys dealing with that?
We, our Grand Lodge is dealing with it is you have to be, you know, a male, and have, you have to be, you know, a male.
But if someone was like a trans woman, they had been born male at birth, but, or no, sorry, someone was a trans man, born female at birth, but living as a man, present as a man, that's their identity, they could join if that's their, like, how do you police that?
They could, they could probably join, mm-hmm. but if that was known, they probably, they wouldn't get past the balloting. Because you have to be balloted.
And similarly, you know, someone who is a cisgender woman, someone born as a woman, living as a woman, they would be slotted to the Eastern Stars, but they couldn't join the Masons?
Probably true.
Okay.
Yeah, we haven't gotten into that so much, but the discussion's come up.
Interesting. Wow.
So Grand Lodge, you know, and we just feel that this organization is for men.
So, that distinction of a men's organization and a woman's organization is kind of part of that tradition.
Yeah. See, and myself personally, mm-hmm. I don't believe that a trans man should compete in women's sports.
Sure.
And where I go with that is my background with coaching and everything, mm-hmm. and being in football for so long.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here's an analogy. If you took the top athletes in about any sport that are men, and then, you know, even professionals, and then you take the top females mm-hmm. in that same sport, let's say basketball, and you put them together on the floor. I mean, you know where I'm going with this. So, so to me, there's definitely a difference. I don't believe that's fair just because of how God made us.
Sure, and but trans, I just noticed because I do some work on this for my other organizations, trans men are men who were born as women. So they would not be wanting to compete in women's sports. It would be trans
Yeah, maybe
woman.
I'm mixed up, but whenever the man wants to become a woman and compete against women.
I know that's been a big discussion.
I have serious issues with that.
Well, it's just so interesting to think about that. The questions of gender and inclusion or binary gender, it's not just coming for sports, but it's something to think about with fraternal organizations, with organizations. It's interesting because people think the Masons are so far back in the past, but these really contemporary issues you guys are wrestling with.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's fascinating. The other question, I mean, we're hitting all the hot topics, but I did a lot of work for my organization, Marian Voices. We do a lot of work on Black history in Marian.
Mm-hmm.
And I know the Elks Lodge, for example, our Elks Lodges were segregated in Marian. Were the Masons similarly kind of, there was a Black and a white Masons, or have Masons welcomed everyone?
The Masons welcome everyone.
But they weren't segregated like the Elks and some of the others.
No. But I will tell you, there's a Prince Hall.
That's a separate
lodge.
Yeah.
And that is separate only because the African-American community in this country decided that they wanted to have their own lodges.
Mm-hmm.
And the Grand Lodges of most, I think most of the country now, I mean, some many years back, some of the Grand Lodges didn't recognize Prince Hall Lodge.
I see.
But, you know, Ohio does. You know, I think a lot of your northern states
don't
have any issue with Prince Hall.
Yeah, I read a fascinating article, you might have seen this, about the Pythians. Maybe like, I don't know, 5 years ago when I was writing history of this building. Did you read this?
I don't think so.
There were two totally separate Pythian organizations that both called themselves Knights of Pythias, white and black.
Okay.
And why it comes up is our Pythian building above Reese's Market has the name Calanthe on it. The lodge was Calanthe 116. Historically, that is the name for the black organization. So when I called the Knights of Pythias to ask about the history of our building when I was nominating it, they said, oh, you've got an African-American Pythian lodge. I was like, I don't think so in Caledonia. And they were like, but that's the African-American name. But what happened in D.C. is both organizations, the white and the black Pythians, got down to so few members that they had to come together.
Okay.
So there was this fascinating article about, after all of these decades of segregation, they integrated because otherwise they would both not exist. And I just thought, fascinating how these old organizations that might have patterns that come from when they were founded in the 19th century are now having to, like, kind of how you guys cohabit with the Oddfellows. It sure. might not be the right configuration, but in order to save both organizations,
right, you do.
You have to adapt.
You have to. And I think, okay. I think, and I'm just throwing this out because I don't know, you know, an African-American person comes here and decides that they want to petition our lodge.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We do the background check. You know, there's at least two, sometimes three of our brother Masons that go and interview this person.
Yeah.
And it's an interviewing committee. Then they come back and report to the lodge.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no reason if this person is upstanding, they have to have good referrals, good references,
mm-hmm.
you know. And our motto is we make good men better men.
Mm.
So when they come back to lodge, you know, we just say, okay, we're going to, you know, accept and we're going to ballot on this person.
Mm.
Well, now we have a ballot box and we ballot and there's white marbles and black cubes in there. Okay. And we
Fancy.
Ballot and it's a secret ballot. I mean, me, myself as senior deacon, I will take the ballot box around mm-hmm. and ballot. And when I walk up to you, I open the ballot box and I turn. I don't mm-hmm. know. I don't have a clue how you vote.
And they put in whichever one.
Yeah.
Which one's yes and which one's no?
Well, white is yes and the black is no.
Wow.
And it only takes one.
So if one person says no, a person's out.
That's it.
So okay. it's not majority. It's like
no.
unanimous.
No. But the person can come back and petition again.
Okay.
Okay. They have to wait a certain period of time.
Got
and
it.
I can't tell you exactly what that time is. But anyway, the 30, let me think here. I think 31 years now that I've been involved, 31, 32 years in the Masons, I've never seen anybody blackballed. So that's kind of where the term comes from.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Interesting. So it probably is too with some of these organizations. It's not like a formal policy of segregation or anything, but you're,
no.
because these are community-based organizations and because neighborhoods and communities were segregated, we've
yes.
evolved to have mostly white organizations
yes.
and mostly
yes.
black. And it's not that someone couldn't join, but it's just that on the west side of Marion, where we have a historically black community, there's going to be a lot of people forming a lodge there for an Elks Lodge.
Yeah.
But it might not make sense or even be comfortable to join
sure.
the Masons in Caledonia if that's
yeah.
not where your community is.
But you know, there's nobody that says you can't petition and you can't join.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know of anybody personally that's ever petitioned a Prince Hall Lodge, but
mm.
I will tell you in 2008 when we had our 200th anniversary
mm-hmm.
in Masonry in Ohio, they had a huge gathering down in Columbus.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you heard about it. Of course, that's, you know, that's been a while back.
Yeah.
But anyway,
I think I was living in Michigan at the time.
Okay.
So I didn't hear.
I can't remember how many hundreds of Prince Hall Masons there were.
Wow.
But they marched down, what's the main street, 23, that turns into
High Street.
High Street, yeah.
yeah.
They were marching down High Street, and they
mm-hmm.
all had top hats, you know, the long-tailed
mm-hmm.
tuxedos on,
wow.
and they all had white gloves. And I want to tell you something. You want to talk about impressive. They, you know, and when they got to the end of the parade, you know, a bunch of us got together, and we went and introduced ourselves and told them how proud, you know, they were just.
And they
I
had
mean,
their own kind of clothes
oh,
and traditions.
Oh, yeah,
in the
it was
hall.
Awesome. They were all in regalia and just, you know, it was
Very
just
cool.
awesome. And, you know, I think the segregation part of that, or, you know, is probably back in.
And some, I think, different organizations have different
oh,
histories
yeah.
with that. I think the Masons
yeah.
didn't share the history. But anyway, I'm asking all the tough questions up front.
No,
finish the tour,
no.
finish the tour. But this is great.
Yeah.
Also, is it like warm in here or is it just me?
I turn on the fans
okay.
because our air conditioners haven't been put in here yet.
Okay.
So I'm sorry.
No, I just switched. It was raining, so I switched to my heavier shoes.
Yeah.
I said, I need to go get sandals.
I did too. I put my water because I didn't know. But we have. Yeah, this is where the master sits, and then we always have a chaplain, and the chaplain sits to the right of the worshipful master.
And after we do our sit-down, I could come back and take close-ups and stuff like that. Is that okay?
Oh, yeah.
I don't
sure.
know if you have to be out of here at a certain time.
Sure. I need to really be out of here somewhere around 9 o'clock if possible.
Okay,
so
cool.
If that's
so
okay with you.
Yeah, so let's start the interview in a second,
okay.
and I'll try to get
okay.
pictures done.
Yeah.
This is for the Eastern Star?
Yeah, this is Eastern Star. Now, this back here is Oddfellow, because it's Caledonia Lodge number 299. So these are tapestries, and same thing.
Did anything in here come from the old Masonic building?
Yes, some of these chairs,
I see.
If you look at the chairs and you can see the Masonic emblems on them.
So those were things that you guys moved across the street.
Oh, yeah.
Nice.
And then, you know, these chairs, like there's the square encompasses,
mm-hmm.
and there's a level. This red one here, that's Oddfellow.
I see.
Yeah, a lot of these chairs were made right here in Caledonia.
For real?
For real.
By who?
So there was a chair manufacturing company here, and you know, way back when.
So these are like old chairs.
These are old. And you can tell when you look at these spindles, you know, they're not 100%.
Right.
And so yeah, we've, as far as antiquity goes.
Like a little museum.
And then this library right here, this came from the Oddfellow Lodge in Mansfield.
Oh, wow.
And
did they close down?
Yes, they did. And a little story about that thing is huge. We hired a company to move it up here for us, and of course there wasn't anything in it. But before I got it attached to the wall, we were going to clean it and everything, but before I had it attached to the wall, I mm-hmm. told everybody, I said, stay away from it because I don't have it screwed into the wall yet.
That's a cool person.
Well, you see the glass missing?
Beautiful.
One of our members came up, who is a Baptist minister for okay. Oddfellows. He came up and was cleaning this, and he pulled the door open, and he shut it, and he turned around like this. Well, one of these other doors came open, and he turned around like this, and when he turned back around, this thing goes.
On him?
Yeah, had him pinned here to the floor.
Is he okay?
Oh, yeah. But the glass broke, and it cut him pretty severe. Well, he was up here, and he cut himself by pushing himself out from under it. Well, then he called me, and I just happened to have a cell phone at the time. This was many years ago.
Oh, man.
So I was running squad at the time, so I called the squad over here, and I said, hey, get up to the Masonic Lodge. If the door's locked, I said, bust it.
Oh,
I said, there's a person up there that a piece of furniture fell on him, and I said, they're bleeding. So anyway, to make a long story short, he's fine, but we've never got that glass replaced, and I said, I don't know if that's a reminder to us or...
cautionary tale.
Yeah, and every time, Tim's moved away now, but every time he comes back, I said, hey, you remember that piece of furniture?
Oh, that's terrifying. Well, I'm glad he's okay. Is this a walk-through, or is this just the anteroom?
This is that little anteroom.
Got it.
They keep some of the regalia in here.
So I think we'll have...
Oh, the light's burned out here.
Oh, okay. Oh, you're fine. We sit down to talk at 7, so if we talk until 8:30 and then I take pictures for half an hour, does that sound
good?
That's
fine.
Some people talk for 3 hours, but I think you'll be able to pack a lot in.
I don't know if you can read this, but this is I'm trying to think. They call it a charter or a dispensation.
Oh, the Oddfellows.
Yeah. And this is for encampment, Grand Encampment, Mizpah. So Mizpah is a spinoff of Oddfellows here. And I was a member of the encampment also. Judy Hines is still with us.
I keep thinking, I can ignore the Oddfellow stuff, but I was like, no, you're a member of both. So this interview is about all of them. I have to take pictures of everything.
Oh, yeah.
No
way. And so then I was wanting to see, I believe this is our Masonic charter.
So cool.
No, that's the Oddfellow. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I'm not worried about anything.
That's the for the Oddfellows itself.
Yeah. Find a floating eyeball mildly terrifying. Is that just me, or do even members feel that way?
The eyeball?
You
the
like it?
The all-seeing eye?
You don't think it's creepy?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's all used on your some of your money. 1871.
Is that the charter of the Oliver Lodge?
This is when we have a list of the masters up
here.
So I don't know if you can get a picture of that if you have enough light.
I'm my best.
Now the other one that hangs below it that has all the current members from the last however many years you can get on there, it's at the calligrapher who does that, you know, calligraphy and puts our names in there. Mm-hmm. He picked it up at the last meeting and he took it home. So I was hoping it'd be back here, but it wasn't. So.
No worries. That's cool to see though. Yeah.
I'll
come back through and get more when we're done, but this
okay.
is great.
Yeah.
It really helps to kind of just see the, you know, physical layout of
sure.
the space. And
yeah.
Like I said, I spent a lot of time thinking about the Masonic building over there, which we got community blackout funds to fix. Did you see that?
I saw that.
It's
very
controversial.
I sit on the Regional Planning Commission meeting.
So, yeah.
I'm on Regional Planning. You were there.
Yeah.
I'm there. And so when they got
some
that,
drama
what's controversial about it?
People in many communities don't understand how public funds work, and they think it's going to me or my family personally.
I'm
like, we don't see any of it. It goes to Evie. And it goes direct to a contractor. They run the bidding process.
Right.
It's not our money. Right. We're trying to fix it. But I think people think I'm pocketing the money. So, which is unfortunate. But I've had some phone calls to deal with today.
You know, the old saying, some people would complain if you hung them with a golden rope.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an old saying. But
I think politically, given like everything in the climate, I think some people feel like, I don't want my tax dollars paying for this and that. But it's like, the CBDG funds have to be spent anyway,
right.
So it might as well go to us. We already paid taxes 5 years ago that created that, and like we may not like doing that, but it has to be allocated to someone or to some building. So it might as well be our community.
I think dealing with public funds, and then especially with this, since the COVID came in,
right.
and all the monies that have been thrown around by the federal government,
there's a lot of anger around that.
Well, and it's also, there's so many unknowns about it. You know, we got funds in, and I don't know if I told you this, and I don't want to get off subject here,
fine.
You know, our township received two payments, and the first one was $111,000 and some change.
Mm.
Well, they wanted us to do all this work to our township hall and anything, you know.
Is this for Tully Township or Clarendon?
This is Clarendon Township.
Okay.
So the money came in, and then they gave us parameters. Well, you have to use it, you know, to put touchless faucets and touchless hand cleaner, hand sanitizer dispensers,
mm-hmm.
touchless
mm-hmm.
toilets, to do all this stuff. Well, most of the stuff in our town hall or our township hall is
where
new.
Where is the township hall for Clarendon Township? It's not Village Hall?
No. Our township hall is out here by the cemetery. East of Caledonia here?
Yeah, that's the township hall, and it's separate?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. The village is a, you know,
it's its own entity.
Incorporated, you know, municipality.
But Clarendon Township is everything else.
Yeah, the Village of Caledonia sits within Clarendon Township.
See,
that's like me. I'm a trustee, but I have no jurisdiction in
But
the
that's
village.
Why you hang out with Caledonia stuff, because it's the same, we're all the same township, but.
Yeah, and the people in this township, or in this village, vote for me.
Right.
So, you know, yeah. So, plus, I've been here 44 years in business, so you know these
Everyone
people are my.
You.
These are my.
But you were saying the ARPA funds were very targeted things they wanted you guys to do.
Yeah, they were targeted, and then they said, "Well, here's what you can use them for."
Mm-hmm.
Well, then we decided that, you know, instead of using them for things that we really felt like we didn't need,
right?
We said, "Well, hey, the school can use them over here,"
mm-hmm.
so we went ahead and we allocated the $111,000 to the River Valley Schools over here.
Does the government like that?
Well, that was allowed because you could sub-grant the money.
Oh, okay.
So we sub-granted it, which puts all the parameters of how they can spend it on the school.
I see.
So we were allowed to do that. So the school spent it immediately because they bought, you know, touchless toilets and faucets and hand cleaner dispensers and hand sanitizer.
That's great.
Dispensers.
Well, I just did a 90-day program at Marion City Schools, and there was not a single touchless surface. Every single faucet, single soap dispenser. I said, what happened to your COVID money?
Well,
nothing is touchless.
Yeah. So, you know, we did that. Well, then I had mentioned that we have 7 churches in our township, and I said, so many of the elderly people have a tendency to go down to church, and I said, we need to get AEDs there.
Wow. You know,
which I thought would be...
You're making me want to sanitize my hands a little bit.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine.
Do you know how many people who have contacted me this week that have... So many people have COVID right now.
Oh, yeah.
I just got like five people calling me that I was with earlier. We had a big festival at Garfield on Tuesday. I wore a mask. There were 400 people. And now I'm getting all the calls being like, I have COVID. I was there. I have COVID.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. People come in my shop, and one guy dropped off his vehicle, and he said, I'd stay and talk, but I have COVID. And I said,
Why are you in my shop?
You know, they're just running around dealing with it. So, and I didn't get close, and whatever. But anyway, so then we find out, and they said, no, that's not an eligible expense to buy AEDs for the churches.
Mm.
So, okay, so we give this money to River Valley. They come back maybe 3 weeks to a month later and say, gee, we've had a change of heart here. We think that qualifies as an expenditure, you know, so we could have done that.
Oh,
and
man.
It's like, you know, and that's... When these things start, these programs start, you don't know where it's going to go.
And I don't think they know either.
No, and they really don't.
But I'm just saying there's a lot of...
Yeah.
There's been a lot of... I'm so excited to get a fix at that building. I think it benefits the community, but I thought it would be a victory, and unfortunately it's just... I've been dealing with a lot of flack from a lot of people, so...
old buildings to me, this town, you know, just like people... It gets older, and the older they get, the more maintenance they need.
You need what's called a heroic intervention at that point, which is much more expensive.
Yes, and it's just like this building right here.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're pretty fortunate, but you go down into the basement, downstairs, mm-hmm. because, you know, this used to be the old library here
mm-hmm.
to this pole, and then from here over, you know, we got the pizza shop.
Sure. Is that why it smells like food?
Does it smell like... I have no sense of smell, so...
It smells like food.
I haven't had COVID, right? Well, no.
You don't
the last 15 years, I haven't.
Why? Yeah,
just, I don't know.
Wow. Don't know. It does. It smells like food.
Well, they're down there cooking.
That's what it is. Pizza.
Yeah.
But so much of there's termites in the library?
There were many years ago. Okay. Matter of fact, in the 80s, when I sat on village council uh-huh. as a councilman, we had that problem. So what we did, we had an exterminator come in, and they exterminated our building. Oh. Well, guess what termites do?
Leaf.
So we just chased them out of that building and brought them over to here.
Mm.
So we need to do a lot of work. It's the Ark of the Covenant up there.
I love it.
Symbolic. And that's King Solomon's temple.
Wow.
Right there.
Beautiful. Yeah, we should, if you're still interested in the district stuff, I think, talked to April today, we got to start our interview, but an unfortunate consequence of the CDBG thing is I've been hearing that they're going to vote down doing the historic district now. We got the approval for it.
Cool.
I put in the National Register questionnaire because they feel like I am getting too much money because I'm the one to do the nomination, and the pipeline grant would pay me $12,000 to write the district. I'm not setting that rate. What the state pays is $12,000 for a district.
Right.
But I guess a bunch of people told April that they feel like because we got the CDBG funds, they feel like I'm getting unethical amounts of public money, and I'm like, I'm literally a preservationist working in Caledonia. I've been trying to do this for years. Of course I would be doing it, but and now I think April feels discouraged, like, well, the building owners don't want it and it's going to be a hassle to get Village to do it. But speak up if you feel like it is worth it and you could use the tax credits, because it sounds like they're going to try to vote it down on Wednesday.
I think it's very worth it. I talked to Carol Ault
mm-hmm.
Sunday. They had a surprise 85th birthday cookout for her.
I didn't know that. I interviewed her for this project.
She's
amazing. Sweetheart.
She's my sister.
For real?
Yeah, I call her. No. I call her sis, and I'm her brother, you know. But we did that to get me on an aircraft carrier when her son was in the Navy. So.
Oh, yeah. I heard about that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, she was all excited about it.
And everyone is. I think that's why regional planning. And I talked to Evie today, and she's like, well, everyone was so excited about that. And I was like, I love working in Caledonia, and it's hard because things are hot, cold, hot, cold, hot, cold, hot, cold, and it makes it crazy. I'm like, you just voted for this, and now you're going to vote against it, but everyone was excited about it, and it makes April and I look really bad.
Well, you know, I wouldn't get discouraged real quick.
It's been a lot of back and forth for years, so
yeah.
I'm not discouraged yet,
no,
but she thinks they're gonna vote it down because they're pissed about the CDBG funds for that building. I'm like, again, that's not going to me. I'm sorry you think that.
No.
I wish I had $58,000 to pocket, but that's not how grants work.
No.
It's to a contractor.
Yeah, I think that's ridiculous, because if you don't salvage these older structures,
they're
going to
go.
Yeah.
And I think April thinks that's what's at the heart of it, that people many people on council right now just don't believe our village square, our public square will come back, and that's sad, because these incentive programs, like the tax credits, and like the pipeline grant to pay for the nomination, they exist to help us kickstart
right,
that.
Right.
And if you don't believe in it, they are going to all fall down.
Right. And,
I mean, they were built in the 1890s. They're old. 1884 for this building.
That's the discussion I had with the grand master of the Oddfellows of Ohio is from here.
Mm-hmm.
He's in our lodge.
Really?
Yes. Marion Owen. And
he still lives here?
He lives over in Marion, but he's a member of, you know, he's our lodge.
Wow.
And then, anyway, I was talking to him here about a week ago, and I mm-hmm. said, since you're the highest person in the Oddfellows in the state of Ohio, mm-hmm. and will be for all year, I said, I know there's a lot of money out there floating around that these Oddfellow lodges have that are almost defunct. And I said, why couldn't we borrow money and start pumping it into this building?
That'd be amazing.
Because we plan on being here for a while.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, we need to get the roof. You know, I want to get these poles taken out.
Ah.
But the way you do that is you have to have metal, like W beams and stuff put across.
Spanning, yeah.
Yeah, to span that.
Yeah.
And then kind of haste, there was a roof put on this building that was metal. Mm-hmm. And that didn't work out very well.
Yeah, we're dealing with that over there, too.
Yeah.
I think a lot of fly-by-night roofers in this community.
Well, when these storms come,
right.
You know, that happens.
Yeah.
So anybody that has a ladder and a pickup truck and can buy some shingles and a hammer, you know,
right.
They're all of a sudden they're a roofer.
Well, I mean, I think you guys should get the funds to fix up, and I do think for this building, for the Oddfellows, I think that tax of 45% of qualified rehab expenses, I think it would be valuable. So
I do too.
I'm just letting people know, for the people who are at the meeting and were gung-ho, please speak up, because I think April feels like it's a losing battle because the wind blew the other way and now council doesn't want it.
Yeah.
What's your proposal?
I can't. That, believe it or not, that is, let me see what the paperwork's underneath there.
Oh. Don't want to mess it up. Then we got to start our interview.
Now I got to ask you something here. Can I read this first before we take any pictures or do anything?
Yep.
Because I'm not sure.
I'm going to delete the pictures of rocks.
No. You don't have to delete anything.
Oh, I'm happy to. I want it to be.
But let me see here what this.
I didn't even take a picture of the rocks.
No, that's okay.
I'll take pictures of other things.
Okay. Jess, here's what I can tell you.
Okay.
This isn't dated, but this letter being a part of this, and I'm serious, I didn't know that was underneath there. I just thought, I know there was a letter at one time.
Uh-huh.
So I just looked, and I don't know what the penny is all about. But it says, about 50 years ago, the front of the Capitol building in Washington, D.C. was being rebuilt, and in the process of some original stonework had to be removed.
Oh.
And that stonework was supposed to be taken by armed guard out and dumped in the deepest part of the Potomac River.
Oh, no.
But at the time, a certain person was operating an air compressor for a contractor, and he secured a piece of rock and put it in his lunchbox.
And that's the history of this rock.
So, honestly, and this is actually a piece. And if you
I better pause my recording. I want to tell the feds.
If you look at that, can you see it's like oyster? You know, it's
mm-hmm.
it has all kinds of, you know, because they used to mix up oyster shells to make mortar.
Cool.
So, yeah, that was.
Got to put the penny back on top, though. I'm real serious about good luck, and I don't want us to have any bad luck. But
I had forgotten the story on this kind of, so I thought, well.
That's awesome.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and leave well enough alone there. But that's actually a piece of the Capitol.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Part of the ritual.
Yeah, we keep our, you know, everybody wears a white lambskin apron.
That's real lambskin?
No, these are cloth.
That's what it looks like.
But when you become a mason, they give you a leather apron.
Wow.
So.
All right, you want to get going before we run out of time?
Sure can.
I'm trying to keep it at 9, but I know most people talk for 2 hours, and we have 1 hour 15, so.
Sure. Well, if we're a little over, that's okay. This picture here, and I don't know why it's not standing up. The church up here.
Oh, yeah.
13 Scottish stonemasons from Scotland.
Came here?
Came here, were hired, they came in. In the street on the north side of the church, uh-huh. they actually blocked that off. And then, as you can see in this picture, you're looking at all these masons. Well, here's some of the blocks of stone. This is actually the front door of the church.
And masons used to be masons.
They were, well, there's two kinds of masons.
Right, I know.
Operative and speculative. Operative masons are the ones that lay. Speculative masons are like me.
Like the metaphor of masonry.
Yes, yes.
But so, did but the they were order both. Of the Freemasons come out of actual masonry, operative practice?
Yeah.
Historically?
Yeah, and it was because of the Brotherhood. What they did was they tried to bring Masons into the Masonic fraternity, and they taught them the craft, and that's why they call them craftsmen.
So it was kind of like a guild. Almost.
Yeah, it had to do with skill.
Is this upstairs?
That's the layout. If you get a close up, that is actually the layout. And that.
Okay, I know where we're at.
That's where the master sat.
This is on the Pythian side, though.
This is.
Isn't it? Because. Oh, wait. No.
This,
I know where it is.
Yeah.
This is facing the parking lot of Reese's. Squares on this side.
Yes.
Yep.
See, the master always sat in the east.
Yeah.
Senior warden in the west. Junior warden in the south, and see that there's the altar set up in the middle.
I've never seen a picture of it while it's set up.
If you want me to take it down, to get a better.
I might have to come back and do a separate 2-hour photo shoot because there's so much in here, but cool to see.
Now, what I was going to tell you on this is they cut all those stone by hand when they built that church down there.
Beautiful.
And if you look at the choir loft has a circular staircase that goes up to the choir loft.
Oh.
And the handrails are cut in stone.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's circular. So you want to talk about craftsmanship.
Yeah.
And the doors that are in this church that separate the front and the back of the church, doors are huge. Uh-huh. And they still work and open just
I've only been in once, but it's gorgeous.
But here, if you look at all these masons that are working on this and the helpers, you'll see one person here. They're all wearing aprons, but you see one person whose apron is in the form of a triangle.
Yeah.
That's the master.
Oh.
He's the leader of this whole group right here because of his...
His apron.
Yeah, because of the form of his...
So they were operative and speculative.
Exactly.
I love that. All right, one more picture and then let's sit down.
No, that's fine.
I want to hear your story and I just don't want to rush you. I always tell people 3 hours. I said, life is longer than tape, and you've got a lot to say, I think.
These gavels came from traveling. Well, we used to travel to other lodges when they had inspections.
And, does that happen anymore or not so much?
Yeah, but they still do, but they usually give out plaques. And you know, guys used to build these gavels, and it was kind of a prize thing.
Where are the closest lodges these days?
Well, you have Marion 70 over there. Okay. You know where the music store is?
They're yeah.
Yeah, that's Marion 70. And then you have LaRue, Ohio Lodge.
Okay.
And then, of course, over here in Morrill County, you have Mount Gilead.
Prospect and the other villages, they don't have anything anymore?
No, not anymore.
I know Prospect had a Pythian Lodge.
Yeah.
That did a fish fry, but they might be gone.
Yeah, that could be. Real quick, I want to show you this piece right here.
Yeah.
This was carved, and I'm sorry to say this fell over. This got knocked over and got broken. This is carved out of one piece.
And
you see it says Oliver at the bottom. But this was carved by those stonemasons that built the church.
That's amazing. Who's Oliver named after? Founder Oliver Weeks? Or?
Probably, because when they chartered the lodge, he was the first master, I believe.
Amazing.
So, yep.
You're only a young one. No limit on being childish. Right on. All right, where do you want to sit down before I sit down? I just need an outlet.
I can turn on a fan if you want to sit here. Or we can sit at the table if you're more comfortable.
I just need an electric outlet. Is that possible?
Electrical outlet.
Want to sit over there?
We can, sure.
Or if there's one over here.
I don't know. I don't
know they can be hard to come by in old buildings.
Yeah, there's definitely one over there. We can move a chair over there, but I want to turn on a fan here.
Yeah, that's fine.
Get a little air moving.
I'm going to have to take my shoes off. I didn't need my warm shoes. which chair do you want?
If you want me to sit over here, that's fine.
Thank you. Well, I'm going to have to run the outlet by you, though.
Oh,
you
want
to sit? I want you to have the fancy chair.
Why don't you sit over there?
You sure?
Yeah.
You want the fancy chair?
Can we pull the table out a little bit?
Sure.
Give me some room.
Okay.
Now, do you want a water?
I think I'm okay. I guzzled some before, and
okay.
I was around someone on Tuesday who was around someone on Sunday who had COVID, so I just want to be extra careful of anyone I'm hanging with that I don't spread something.
Okay.
I feel like we're all in that position now, but...
If you don't mind, I'll have a water, but...
Oh, yeah, go for it.
You're more welcome. If you decide you want one, just let me know.
All right. I'm going to stop this recording.